Let's do this. The Cult of Hockey podcast by the faithful and for the faithful. I'm David Staples of the Edmonton Journal, and I'm here today with my friend Bruce McCurdy. Welcome, Bruce.
Hey, David. How are you doing?
I am a little bit steamed, Bruce. This news from Ryan Rashog has me in a sour mood about the Edmonton Oilers. And do you want to read his tweet? You got it handy there?
Sure. Yeah, his first one was, Oilers had discussion with Marcus Leto, agent for Jesse Puljujärvi, today. Team is open to trading him if a proper return can be found. And in the meantime, an AHL stint to help boost offense and confidence is being considered. No decisions yet.
What a mess, Bruce. What a mess. Here's a team desperate, absolutely desperate for help on the wing. And they get the fourth overall pick in the 2016 draft. I mean, they've traded away Taylor Hall by then. They're about to trade Jordan Eberle at the end of that season. And they bring in this young Finnish hockey player. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of people who say, well, you know, what has Puljujärvi ever done to earn playing time in the Oilers? How has he ever succeeded? And doesn't have hockey sense and this and that and the other thing. And I would just say this, Bruce, like, there's been no consistency in the Oilers' handling of Puljujärvi at all. He's never had consistent line mates. I mean, his most consistent line mate has been Milan Lucic. He's played, and I'll give you the numbers here. He's played 674 even strength minutes with Milan Lucic, most of them in the last 2 years, when Milan Lucic's game has fallen off a cliff. He has been Puljujärvi's most common line mate. He's been out there with this player. Their games don't mesh in the least. I don't know whose game does mesh with Lucic's, like, all due respect to Lucic's game at this point. But he's been out there 674 minutes with Lucic. I mean, do they really think that was going to work? Did they think that was the best plan for their prize prospect draft pick, playing him consistently with a guy who can't generate any offense at all? So he's also played 412 minutes with McDavid, 403 with Nugent-Hopkins, 307 with Ryan Strome, 288 with Leon Draisaitl, 286 with Jujhar Khaira. So he has had some good line mates. But that much time with Lucic, that is just, I don't know. I can't figure that at all. I mean, Puljujärvi plays speed hockey. He makes fast passes. He wants to move fast. He needs to play in a flowing game. And you're playing him in this heavy hockey grind style with Lucic. That is just a terrible idea. And the other terrible thing is this. This is a guy who has unique skills. He can really pass the puck and he can really shoot it. But he has yet to get any time at all on the left half wall, even on the second power play unit, let alone the top unit in Edmonton. So you're going to trade away a player that you've invested maybe more than $10 million, maybe tens of millions of dollars in that kind of draft pick in terms of opportunity cost, what you'd expect from a player at that level. I don't know how much that draft pick is worth. It's worth a lot of money. And you're gonna ship out that player, trade away that player before you've even tried him at the thing that he does the best. The reason why you took him is to be on that left half wall in the top power play unit. You haven't even tried him there, and you're gonna move him out. I just think that's the height of incompetence. And I like, honestly, I've been writing this for a while, but this is an exclamation point on that. It's time to get rid of Oilers mismanagement, clear house from the top down, bring in a bunch of a new hockey president, a new GM, a new coach. Yeah, send Puljujärvi to the minors for the rest of the year. But let's see how he does with a new group, with some competent people running this team.
They're going to have to sign him to a contract at the end of this year. His ELC is up and largely wasted. So they have to convince him that the NHL is in his future. I mean, as a European player, he has options that a lot of other guys don't. Now, I understand that his goal is NHL. I mean, that's where he is for now. But as you say, they seem to be having a whole lot of trouble finding a home for him. I had higher hopes when Ken Hitchcock got the job, and one of the very first things he did was personally request that, yes, it be brought up from the minors after, I think, a four-game stint down there. He wanted to get him in playing in a regular role with the big club, and he's played every game since. He hasn't been in the press box even once, as I recollect, but he's sure been up and down the lineup, and he sure has spent a lot of nights, like last game, where supposedly he's playing with Nugent Hopkins and Kara on a pretty promising looking second line. And by the 10-minute mark of the first period, he's somewhere down the lineup and without really any sort of obvious explanation or reason as to why he would get switched around. And it's got to be hard, you know, for a guy. He came over as an 18-year-old kid and a young 18, May birthday. And right away, they put him in the NHL, and they kept him here until his first year of his contract kicked in. You might remember that he spent a lot of time in the press box. He spent a lot of games playing 6 and 5 and 3 minutes. And then as soon as they got to game 41, whatever the threshold was, down he went to Bakersfield. And then last year he was up and down. This year he's been up and down. And even when he's up, it's like first line, third line, fourth line, fifth line in the press box. And within a game, you know, yo-yoing around. They haven't found a meaningful role for him on special teams. You know, a little residual minutes on the second unit playing with a bunch of other wingers. A unit with no centers and no snipers. And never, ever tried the guy on the penalty kill, like, ever. And you look at his skill set and you think, well, surely that, especially the way the other penalty killers have been performing at times, you know, why not give it a shot, you know? But it's like there's no plan. And there never has been a plan for this player. The plan was, well, all the scouts agreed that he's NHL ready at 18, so let's just pump him in there and let's watch him start to score goals right away. And when that didn't work out, well, plan B is whatever, and it never seems to have any sort of longer term focus or objective. It's, what do we do with him next game? What are we going to do with him tonight? Next period? Oh, I didn't like that that back check. Next shift, you know. And there just seems to be no continuity with the development plan, and they're at big risk of losing the player, frankly.
Well, this tweet seems to be confirmation that it's over. I mean, certainly, yeah.
I'm not sure. I think possibly they're just setting the table for sending him down. Because the follow-up tweet from Rashog said, I think the return needed to convince the Oilers to trade Puljujärvi would be quite high. Team still believes in the player, and if return isn't what they want, they'll be happy to sit tight and continue working with him. Having already set the table that he could be sent down. And, of course, they're already painted into the cap corner of when they bring up Andre Sekera, and within the next few days they're going to have no choice. They have to find $1.2 million in cap space for him. And they can send out one player. Like, let's say they decide to send Brandon Manning to the minors and he clears waivers. Well, all they can bury in the minors is $1.025 million, which isn't enough to make room for Puljujärvi. Make room for Sekera. So they're going to need to make a secondary move to clear another $200,000 in space. Well, one way to do that is send down Jesse Puljujärvi at $925,000 and bring up Patrick Russell at 650 or 700, I can't remember which of the two, but either way, it would be just enough to squeeze Sekera in there. But they have to make two moves, and it could be that's one of the moves. Puljujärvi doesn't need to clear waivers. And honestly, in terms of the role that he has right now, he really isn't contributing a whole lot to the
team. Oh, no. You know? We talked about sending him to the minors last week, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we were both discussing it, and it seemed like the reasonable thing to do at that time. So for all those reasons that you're saying, Bruce, that's the sensible play. Where does this trade talk? I mean, what's the purpose? What's going on there? So that's what, to sell it to Puljujärvi and his agent? We've tried here. Mm-hmm. We're putting out the message that we've tried, and we can't. So.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's often. There's often a.
Or is it preparing the fan base for a trade? I mean.
Wow. The fan base is, by now we should be prepared for abject misery of some description or another, because that's what the organization has consistently delivered for the last 13 years, with one lonely exception.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm with you. I'm growing a very short patience of the continued bungling of major assets and no consistency of vision and no apparent focus to the moves that they're making. And
no, remember
it's
the
a mess.
The Ryan Strome narrative. Well, yes, he doesn't necessarily get along. We've heard with his teammates, and they don't want him on his line, and he's terrified, according to John Shannon, or about playing with McDavid and Draisaitl, blah, blah, blah. Probably there's some truth to all of that. Certainly, I think the notion that some of these top players like McDavid and Draisaitl don't want to play with him on the line, I think that there's that that's not doesn't seem crazy, like that idea. It seems like it's probably a reasonable idea that they want to play together and they don't want to play with him far enough. But anyway, so the new narrative was, well, there's this Ryan Strome guy who's struggling, but these two guys have gotten together, and they're, of course, they were with Lucic the whole time, and they didn't have a lot of success as a line.
Nope.
Wonder why. And not to blame at all on him, because
none of the three was firing. No.
But come on, Lucic is the obvious one of these things is not like the other. He just doesn't have the speed to play the NHL game, except maybe in a fourth line role now. And you know, so Strome and Puljujärvi were put with him. That's not going to work. Anyway, but he did have this friend, and it looked like they were going to be on the same line. Well, they hardly played together at all this year, Strome and Puljujärvi, and then they traded Strome. Yeah. So he's lost his buddy on the team, and he's kind of – so then he finally gets a little bit going with Nugent Hopkins and Kara. Mm-hmm. And they had about three or four games where, hey, that looks like a line. It actually looks like these guys are playing together. And what happens, boom, Hitchcock just went crazy with the blender when he started to lose. He was desperate to keep winning and to find some kind of solution, and it just got into overdrive. And even he realized that. So when he came back from the break, he got away from the blender for a short number of games. And but Puljujärvi ended up in the fourth line in this new situation.
Now they had three centers, and he was on the fourth line.
Yeah, and so at that point, if Hitchcock had decided, okay, he's lost confidence in the player, should have just sent him to the minors at the All-Star break. Mm-hmm. If that was the decision, it's fourth line or AHL. Well, AHL is clearly better. And so that was a mistake by Hitchcock, if that's what he was going to do. If he had had enough of that player, he should have sent him down right then and there. And, and as you say, they went back to Nuge, Pooj, Juge for one or two shifts before... I don't know.
Like 5 minutes.
Maybe he stuck his tongue out and licked his nose, and that's the signal that they can't stand him anymore. And because that's his trademark weird tick. Yeah, Bruce. I freely admit I'm a big fan of this player. Mm-hmm. I for some reason I really like him. He's big. He's fast. He's got skill. I think he's an NHL player. I don't think this guy is the new Yakupov. I don't see that. I see a better player than that. He's way bigger, and he gets around the ice better. Yakupov was just at the NHL level, just a step slow. He couldn't separate. Now, Puljujärvi doesn't do that very often, but I just see it as a confidence thing, and I see it as a strength thing, and I think it can come together. Strength and confidence are two things that can increase with age and should increase with age. So I think there's a player here, and it's just so frustrating. So I admit, because I'm a fan of this player, I could be overly harsh on Oilers management, Oilers coaching, and not holding Puljujärvi to account enough on this whole thing. So that's my caveat in this whole discussion, is I admit to that bias, and it's a very real one. I want this player to succeed. I like this player, and I still hope he does. I hope it's with the Oilers. So if I think that your interpretation of Rashog's tweets, that this is probably a precursor to sending Puljujärvi down, is a sane and probably the best analysis. That's probably most likely analysis. And that's what I hope happens. I'm still the whole trade thing though has set me off, Bruce, and makes me wonder if that's not coming.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, they want to see what's out there. Maybe some team, maybe there's some fit of some other high performing, high expectation, low performing young player that, that would make sense. At least they want to, see what's out there. But it would have to be a very good return.
Bob Stauffer tweets on Jesse Puljujärvi. I'm the first to admit I would have thought he would have gained more traction to this point in his NHL career, especially given his performance in the 2016 World Junior Championships. However, he's still only 20. Life, let alone hockey, isn't always one continuous upward trajectory. So Bob's preaching patience here with Puljujärvi, and I really like that, and I think Stauffer has been consistent with that in terms of a media voice, and considering that he's with the Oilers, that's good to hear. This patient approach still sounds like it might be part of the program with Puljujärvi. So that's what I'm hoping. That's what I want to see here, and I hope that's what prevails.
Yeah, well, here's an interesting comparison case. Dylan Strome. Since we're talking about Strome already, Dylan Strome, he was drafted third overall 1 year before Jesse Puljujärvi. So sort of same level of expectations, 6'3", 200 pounds, big guy, dripping with talent. He was ripping up the OHL. He won the scoring title in his draft year, but they sent him back to junior for one more year. The next year, they gave him a few-game trial in Arizona. Then they sent him back to junior to finish out that year, 75 points in 35 games. Last year, he bounced back and forth between Arizona and Tucson. He got a point a game in the AHL, 50 games, 53 points. But he didn't really stick in Arizona. Then this year, he started the season in Arizona, and he was sort of middling along. And they up and traded him to Chicago Blackhawks, 21 years old. And in Chicago, Chicago Blackhawks, NHL team, 34 games, 31 points. And there's a case to be made, well, the change of scenery was what he needed and it worked. But a case can also be made of what in the hell was Arizona thinking?
Yeah. Yes.
So, I mean, they did get, Nick Schmaltz back in that deal, but they gave up a lot to get Nick Schmaltz. So anyway, I mean, sometimes it takes these guys a while. And Arizona, you could say arguably they did the right thing in the sense that they sent him back to junior two times. They sent him out to the AHL. It was Jesse Puljujärvi right as a young 18-year-old, right into the lineup. And then, well, now what do we do with him? And that was right from the beginning. He hasn't had one season yet here that made sense in terms of how he spent the season and what was the plan and what was the plan B if plan A didn't work, and just not to be seen in the track record yet, but it's still mighty early. I mean, the kid is 20 years old even today.
20 years old. Yeah, he's
20 years old.
And Yamamoto, essentially.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's 2 months younger than Tyler Benson. I was just going to say, who was born in March of 98. And Benson, they sent him back to junior for 2 more years. This year, they sent him down to the AHL. The other day, they told him in no uncertain terms that Keith Gretzky said, we're planning to leave Tyler Benson in the AHL for his own good for development for the rest of the year. Bravo, Oilers. That's the way to do it. Actually have a plan and stick to it. Where was that plan with Jesse Puljujärvi?
Let's leave it there. Thanks for talking, Bruce.
Yeah, thanks for writing, Dave. I haven't had a chance to read your post yet, but I'm going to read it right away. And your subhead was grabbed my attention. Let's put it that way. All right. Thanks for listening, everyone.
And in the meantime, and in between times, this has been another edition of the Cult of Hockey podcast.